What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another Superstar Scores edition of the SmartCon Moment Smack Talk podcast. So with this time around, we are going to be doing Sting because he just retired. And we, of course, like to do these recaps with some fresh ideas in mind of somebody with their career retrospective and stuff. If you don't know who we are, I'm Tony Mango, joined as always by Robert DeFelice.
All of my scores are based on fake Sting.
And Callum Wiggins.
He's a man called Sting.
I am anticipating some pretty high scores here today, and we will, of course, get into that, break down what all these things are, how it works, in case you are brand new to Superstar Scores, even though this is the 36th edition of this. So, you know, there's plenty to go back and check out, most recent one being CM Punk. We've done very high scores in the past, like Undertaker, and we've done very low scores in the past, like Steve Blackman didn't end up doing all that well. Buff Bagwell was one of our lowest. And we've adjusted scores, too, over time. You know, every so often we'll go back and kind of, you know, have to tweak things based off of some awful thing that somebody's done, or, you know, they've had a career resurgence or something. So at this point, it seems like Sting is retired. It's his maybe third or fourth semi-retirement, but this one seems like it's truly done. So, we've got 10 categories to break down. We got 100 points to disperse, and we'll tell you how all that works in a moment. But first things first, we want to know what your scores are throughout this. So while we're going along here, write down your scores. Let us know in the comment section below. If you're listening elsewhere, send a tweet or put something else out there on Facebook, or, you know, put something on the Discord that we have out there. Of course, you can see the link on smartcommoment.com for that. If you are on YouTube, though, make sure you click on all the good little buttons that you see there. The like button, the subscribe button, the notification bell, the thanks button, the join button. All that stuff is greatly appreciated. Join button in particular gets you same access as the Patreon, patreon.com/smartoutmoment. It's where you'll find the same exact tiers that you have on the YouTube channel membership. Redbubble and TeePublic is where you can pick up your merchandise. Also, keep in mind that the next episode of the Darkcast is going to be coming up somewhat soon. I don't know what we're going to do necessarily, but got some ideas in the pipeline, so we might come around and do what more than likely we'll probably end up doing is an episode of Hall of Lame. So we'll, you know, have some anti-awards, kind of, and talk about wrestling's past and kind of rag on that. But Superstar Scores Sting, we do have quite a bit to break down, and for anybody who is new to this, there are 10 categories, and those are broken up into some subcategories, kind of umbrella sections. So we have, first things first, the ring skills, which is athleticism and psychology. We've got the mic skills, charisma and character. We have appearance, is physique and entrance. Behavior is backstage professionalism and public relations. And then the crowd reaction section is popularity and credibility. All of these are worth 10 points each, although we've kind of had the idea in the past that we could have negative scores. It's usually 0 to 10, but we don't have too many people that have been in the negatives. I think the only person that we might have given any negatives to might have been Alberto Del Rio at this point, although we might have even just not given him a negative yet. I know that I have a couple negatives in the pipeline for Chris Benoit and Vince McMahon, for obvious reasons. Brock Lesnar might need to get some points deducted in a future thing, for sure. That's not a thing I anticipated, to go from my very high score of what did we give him? We had a combined average of 80.67, so that's going to go down a little bit. But Sting, I am anticipating some very high scores here, so let's start breaking it down here, and we're going to start off with the two in-ring skills sections, which are, as I mentioned before, athleticism and psychology. The athleticism side of it is their ability to actually perform the maneuvers without, you know, botching stuff. It's also to assess their finisher, like their move set, if it's interesting. The psychology side of it is more of their storytelling, whether or not they can keep a long match interesting, whether or not they sell properly, or if they are just sort of unbelievable when it comes to their performance, not in like an, oh my God, unbelievable, but in a, this is ridiculous and you're, why are you running around like crazy when you've had your knee worked on the entire match or something. So where are you guys going when it comes to athleticism and psychology? I'm actually going to do something first. I haven't done before. I'm going to do my my numbers on the spot.
I'll go first. I gave him a 7 for both. I believe that there was a time where Sting was considered one of the more athletic competitors, like in the 80s, the early 90s. But as time has gone on, he's really been more of a showman in the ring. And, you know, a 7 is a great score. It's about, you know, your median good score. He's not average, but he's not like a Shawn Michaels in the ring or anything. And psychology, I also give him a 7. I think he improved on that throughout his career. He really understood the Sting persona and the invincibility that could sometimes come with it by the end of his career. But he was never like, you know, a perfect storyteller in the ring.
So cards on the table, that is where I was leaning. But Callum, you might be able to sway me one way or another.
I've gone fairly similar, but I've gone for 7 for athleticism and a 9 for psychology. I think that Sting was he was a good athlete, but he was, you know, a product of his time where you would do just a lot more clotheslines and headlocks and just the basic stuff. But you in that toy time, you had to also, because the movesets were a bit more limited, you had to tell a lot more kind of music between the notes. And so that's why I've given him more psychology, because I think he has a level of psychology from being a product of that time that people, a lot of wrestlers today don't really possess, where they aren't brought up in a more move-centric atmosphere. He didn't need to do that. Like, he could get away with, yeah, I'm just going to do the Scorpion Death Drop and the Stinger Splash and the Scorpion Deathlock, and then that's basically it. That's basically my moveset, and then I'm just going to do everything else in between that, but I'm going to make it feel like it's a epic match by being really good at selling, by no-selling when it's the right time to no-sell. And, yeah, I think that's kind of the aura of Sting comes from his above-average psychology to make up for, not average, but, like, just good. But he's good ring work, great storyteller.
So I am not super duper familiar with a lot of aspects of Sting, just from being, you know, more of a WWF guy that already cuts out the vast majority of his career, since he, you know, if I judged him based off of his WWE stuff, it wouldn't be a high score because, you know, obviously he did like almost nothing there. But I had seen him in TNA here and there, wasn't the biggest TNA fan. So I'm missing out on a lot of that information. On WCW, Sting was one of my favorites. During the tail end of that, when I was watching it from like 96 to 99. And, you know, I have clearly gone back and watched some other things and stuff over the past, but couldn't tell you a damn thing about early WCW for him. And then, you know, his lead up to that. Like, I don't think I've seen a single match of him and Warrior tagging up, and the big, big setup of his career, you know, the Flair angles and, you know, his time in the Horsemen. Like, I don't think I've seen almost any of that. So from what I have seen, 7 and 7 was basically what I was going for. A lot of the same opinions that you guys brought up, where he wasn't really, you know, a Rey Mysterio in his prime, flipping around like crazy or anything. Not that everybody needs to be, but he was capable of, you know, being able to be a solid wrestler start to finish. And then on the psychology side, I think that the biggest strength was more on the character rather than necessarily being like, man, that story that he told in that match was just top, top notch. But I think 7's, how did you phrase it, Rob? It's like the median good average kind of thing. I think that's a good
way of putting it. Right, it's like the level 1 good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way of putting that.
You know, and
6 is like you just barely got into the good range. 7 is like, no, you're good. And then 8's is when you start getting into like, okay, now you're heading towards great on that.
I want to touch on something you said there, though, because you mentioned how you're not familiar with his time WCW and his time in the Horsemen. That was like a 5-week angle just to get him in and get him out so that they can do another match with Flair. And I think it's funny sometimes if you don't know these things and you just hear like on paper, you're like, oh, Sting was one of the four horsemen. Yeah. He was great. And that kind of stuff is always funny to me. But I feel, because I was trying to think about this, because I was seeing a lot of debate on Twitter about, all right, now we got to talk about it. Now that both their careers are over, who's better, Taker or Sting? And they're so different to me.
Yeah.
Because with Sting, it's 100% an aura-based wrestler. Like, I don't watch any Sting match outside of maybe Flair at the Clash of Champions with the intention of, oh, I've got to see this great match. I'm watching for the character and the charisma and the aura, which is why for these, I gave Sting 2 9s. A 9 for charisma and a 9 for character, because he exudes so much of it right till the very end. And he's got one of the best characters of all time because it fits whatever era he was in perfectly. The Surfer Sting had the rad dude energy of like Bart Simpson or whatever the fuck from that era. And Crow Sting.
That'd be great instead of the woo, he's all just like, don't have a cow, man.
Well, that's basically what he was outside of, like, when he wasn't doing the ring stuff. And Crow Sting was perfect. And the energy with those characters was so great. And I enjoyed Joker Sting. He even admitted the other day at the press conference that he wasn't really ever feeling TNA. But he had fun. And good for him, you know? Like, I always enjoyed Sting's character.
What did he say about the TNA thing?
Because he said that WCW was a perfect fit for him. TNA, he really never felt like it was. WWE, it definitely wasn't. And AEW ended up being a perfect way to end his career.
Hmm. So, I mean, when it comes to charisma and character, charisma is the pure mic skills side of things. You gave him a 9 on that. Character is more of like the presentation and everything that goes along with that. We saw it on the Revolution show with his kids. Like, there's multiple different variations of this. And when we were doing like The Undertaker and we're going character, obviously we weren't going back all the way to, you know, Mean Mark Callis and trying to judge him based off of that, the same way that when we were judging Kane's character, we weren't really judging Isaac Yankum. But Sting is Sting. And he didn't change his name in that way where it's like, all right, we're supposed to pretend like this is a completely different type of person. Surfer Sting is very different from Crow Sting. And even Crow Sting is different from Wolfpack Sting. And then Joker Sting, of course, is basically a guy being like, man, I really like Heath Ledger's Joker. Let me try to do that a little bit. And Sting that we saw in AEW is more of like a subdued Crow Sting that just happens to talk more. So it's kind of an amalgamation of a lot of different ones. He never really got into like Surfer Sting all that much. But I'm very high on these two. I wouldn't go so far as to give him a 9 on both. But I'm leaning towards an 8 and a 9 maybe for a 8 charisma, 9 character. Maybe an 8 and an 8. I might go down a notch for that, but I'm leaning 8 and 9. What about you, Callum?
8 and 9 is where I kind of sit at the moment as well. I think that he was a very charismatic guy, but again, a product of his time from the 80s. Guy just needs to go out and say, woo, I love being in this crowd and love this town and you guys are great. And when he has to go, when he went a bit more subdued with the Crow Sting approach, it became a bit more limited in what he would say, a bit more cerebral when he did talk. But I think he never really, even when he was Crowsting, he never really lost that kind of that woo, yeah, I'm here mentality a bit. So, but I think the reason why I've gotten down to 8 rather than a 9, because there's obviously the, you have to add the proviso of the everybody who wrestled in the 80s and 90s is a better promo than the people that wrestle in the 2010s and 2020s. They just are. It's just a product of that generation. And Sting is definitely part of that. But I think that he had a tendency to lose himself in the middle of a promo. would sometimes just go a bit too over the top, get a bit too emotional in the situation, then just forget what he was there to say. He was a guy that kind of worked on the moment, on the spur of the moment, and that sometimes meant that if you've got a point where you're meant to be going, you can kind of get lost along the way. So I think that, so that's why I kind of docked him down for charisma a little bit, just due to the fact that he was obviously incredibly charismatic, but a little bit incoherent from time to time. Whereas his character work, I mean, I think that if he was just, if he'd just been surfacing his entire career, then it would probably be like a 5. Because even though it's a cool character and it was a cool look and the face paint and everything about it, it's very one-dimensional.
It's very dated too.
Yeah, very dated. But then when you have the evolution of the Crow character and then the Wolfpack, which is kind of like a blend between both sides, where it's just, it's still the kind of Crow persona, but with a bit more of like a cool, like laissez-faire edge to it. And then you move forward to the stuff they're doing in TNA, where you got to just be a bit more. I think TNA and AEW were kind of where we saw the most of the real Steve Borden, just playing the character a little bit more. And so, yeah, Main Event Mafia stuff as well. Shouldn't really overlook that as well. That was an evolution of his character to being like, I'd say like his last real heel run, but he did have that awful heel run at the end of his TNA time where he was attacking Rob Van Dam for some reason and telling everyone, oh, Hulk Hogan and Bischoff are bad and that makes me a heel. And then it turns out Bischoff and Hogan are bad. And so now you're a babyface again. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of the Joker Sting. I think that he was a bit too over the top, but I could see why certain people are akin to it. And yeah, his work in AEW as this like impenetrable veteran, this invincible kind of aura about him, really kind of carried its way through. So yeah, I think that he's had a very good evolution and subtle evolution of his character throughout the years. So I'd definitely give him a 9 for that.
Very high score so far. Switching over to the physique and entrance side of things for appearance, and they are pretty self-explanatory. I don't think anybody's going to get those mixed up and be like, well, for entrance, he's got some muscles, you know. But physique, I mean, obviously now towards the later end of his career, he was wearing a t-shirt and stuff, but the guy's, you know, fucking not 22 years old, so it's, it makes that perfect sense. But he still was in better shape than he's better shape than fucking I am, so it's like, you know, I'm not gonna rag him on that. And you know, back when he was like in his actual like prime of his career, Surfer Sting and all, like, dude had a great physique on him. And I think that that's one of his higher scores when it comes to just like, as yeah, self-explanatory type of a thing too. Wouldn't go so far as to give him a 10 on physique, but I think I'd go probably an 8. How would you guys go on that one?
I think I went with I've got an 8 for physique as well. I don't think he has the most out of this world physique, but it is quite funny that you look at because he was talking about on the post-revolution press conference about how he stopped taking steroids in 1990. And if you look at photos of Sting,
yeah,
if you have a look at the photos of Sting when he was doing that, he was in the Blade Runners, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with Ultimate Warrior, who didn't stop taking steroids in 1990. Sting, it's a very, very distinct difference in the muscle bound freak that he was at that point in time. I say freak in the positive sense. Obviously, it's not positive. You shouldn't be taking steroids. They can fuck your system up pretty badly if you're not taking them well. But then he becomes a lot more lean, a lot more natural looking, still obviously in great shape for most people, but still more lean, more believable, I guess, really. Not this cartoonish, over-the-top, muscle-bound guy. And I think that obviously as he aged naturally, that muscle definition is going to be harder to maintain and achieve. That's why he would be wrestling in a shirt in his time with AEW. I think he only wrestled once or twice in his traditional gear in AEW. But, you know, that's his prerogative to do so. he knows he's not in the prime of his life. He's retired at the age of 64, so though you're not going to have the, well, unless you're not a freak of nature, but like if you are just taking steroids into your mid-60s, like Vince McMahon was, then yeah, you are going to try and potentially maintain that physique. But he, but yeah, it's always been good. It's always been good to great. And so I think 8 is a good place for him to sit there.
I've got an 8 for physique as well. Largely a lot of the things that you guys said, I just want to point out, the minute that he made those comments about the steroids, I looked at photos and you just go, oh my God. Like, there's a huge difference from 88 when he's wrestling Flair to 90 when he beats Flair for the belt to like 91, 92 when he's fighting Cactus and Vader. He's completely slimmed down and you can just see that, okay, yeah, this is a guy who is no longer doing it that way. And he always looked great. I mean, I remember in 06 when he briefly was wrestling without a shirt, like he beat Jeff Jarrett at Battle for Glory and he was doing like the red face paint on the Crow attire. And that was really cool. And, you know, I really did wish he wouldn't have wrestled in a shirt in his last match or that I saw him go through glass. And then I hope that's why the shirt's on. OK, I got it. You know, but no, Sting's always looked phenomenal in his career, and he's the stereotypical professional wrestler.
So now, as far as entrance is concerned, of course, he's had multiple different entrances. We've had Man Called Sting, which is like glorious and how fucking awful it is. We've had pure awful in my mind when it comes to the Main Event Mafia theme. I hated that with a passion. That stupid thing I thought was just terrible. I don't know why that got past the pitch idea to begin with. And then we've got Crow Sting, and it's like, for Crow Sting alone, how do I not give him a 10?
Okay, I was a little worried because you were like, yeah, Main Event Mafia, Man Called Sting. No, I gave him a 10 here. This, okay, look, if we just take his original WCW entrance theme, that's like the really cool surf rock sound to it, to the absolute cheese that is Man Called Sting, and then we think about the Crow Sting, even without the dropping from the rafters.
Right.
And then you factor in the Seek and Destroy Metallica entrance after he stopped dropping from the rafters. His TNA theme, his theme, was always really cool and had a good aura to it. And then he had the snow in AEW. Like this, yeah, like Sting's entrance. And again, this is the word I'm going to keep using because it just fits. The aura that comes with Sting is a perfect 10. I gave him a 10.
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan of his WWE stuff in that, you know, the little, like they had the drummers and stuff compared to how they could have just
Triple H come out with the Terminator with Arnold Schwarzenegger narrating.
But it was like, the only reason why I didn't like it as much is because I knew that they had the Crow Sting thing and that they just didn't do it. And I'm like, oh, I like that better. But it still was pretty cool. Like, it's not like it was bad. And when you factor in things like the, just the song itself for the Crow Sting one in particular, I love the song. And then you've got the atmosphere and you've got the voiceover and you've got the coming down the rafters and you've got the whole, it's not quite an entrance, but it still kind of counts when it comes to the character mixed in with that. But like, you know, like, hey, that's a person with a Sting mask on and it's Sting. Like, it's,
I didn't even that.
Like, it's so stupid, and at the same time, it's so fucking great that, like, that's exactly the type of stupid thing in pro wrestling that I'm like, shut up, it's fucking cool. You know, that's where my suspension of disbelief gets kicked in 100%. So it's like, that's 2 10s. I don't think we've had any 3-fers yet, other than 9 for character. I think all 3 of us gave him 9 for that. Actually, did all of us give him an 8 for physique?
I think we did.
Yeah.
So you're going to 10 for entrance, Gal?
No, I'm going 9.
Ah.
Boo!
It's Man Called Sting is the issue. And I got the lyrics up.
Oh, I was hoping you would read the lyrics.
He does this, he does that. It's just that that's the first like verse lyric.
So they're not wrong.
He does this, he does that. He's as big as a bull and quick as a cat. He looks fine, he looks cool, he's his own man and he's nobody's fool, unless you're Ric Flair and you just, or Lex Luger and you're teaming with him and you just turn it to that. And this is the thing, it repeats this line in particular 3 times in the entire song, and it's just the complete antithesis of what Sting's character was. Don't double cross him or get in his way, because if you do, you're going to have to pay. And everyone turned their back on Sting throughout his entire career.
But did they not?
Pay.
Have to pay.
There you go. It's like he's not like anybody else. If his friends ever need him, he's there to help. And all the kids, they go wild, and all the old people start to act like a child. What the fuck?
See, is all that right, not worthy right. of a 10?
All right, but again, I ask you, were not all of the old people in the crowd in the Greensboro Coliseum on Sunday acting like a child? For the man called Sting.
The old people now, because now it's like now we start becoming the old people. But the old people back with the early times, they're probably like, this guy's got face paint on. I don't know. He's not wearing loose black trunks and having a barrel-chested hairy appearance.
But I'm not done with the lyrics from this song as well. Like, all over the world, he's such a smash. You know it's over when he does the Stinger Splash. Okay, fine. Then it's, he loves his honey, he loves The Rock, which was, I think, Ultimate Warrior's name, when he was, like, his character's name when they were the Blade Runner tag team. But then he says, but no one important loves the Scorpion Deathlock.
Okay, hold on. Whatever you're reading is just a bad interpretation.
It probably is.
Because the line is, he loves his honey, because I guess, yeah, he likes the women. He loves to rock, because again, he's a rad dude, Bart Simpson. But no opponent loves no the opponent. Scorpion okay. Deathlock.
That's still bad.
It is better than no one important.
What did he beat Matt?
I kind of find it funnier if it was no one important.
That implies that like you're all a bunch of fucking losers.
Yeah. But I that song is just, it's just very, very corny. And you can also mention a couple of those other themes over the course of his career as well. I'm not a huge fan of his WWE one. I like the Metallica one, but I don't have the same kind of affinity towards it. But when I think Metallica and wrestling themes, I think Enter Sandman. That just, my mind just immediately goes to that. I don't think of Sting's one.
Same
but
here.
I'm a big fan of the Crow like theme from WCW. Like his entrance to Starrcade 97 is epic. When he would drop from the rafters, that was always cool as well. And then you have, I like his AEW one. It's not his best one of all time. I'm a big fan of his TNA one. I think his TNA theme is really good. And I am one of those people that is a fan of the Main Event Mafia theme as well. So I do like that side of it. So overall, his entrances are great. And he did do some really cool, had some cool either pyrotechnics or lighting effects throughout his career as well. The snow, of course, from his AEW stuff. I think the best entrance he had recently outside of obviously the entrance leading into Revolution was his entrance at Noah, actually one of the Keiji Muto's final match. They had that 6-man tag with Darby Allin in Japan, and they just had like snow just coming across the screen, and like as he was walking down, it looked really, really good. So but yeah, for the most part he's had excellent entrances, but I cannot I have to take at least a point off the Man Called Sting.
Now Sting, if we're talking about music, obviously there's the Sting musician.
Oh yeah. Which, that's...
You know, they should have figured out some kind of a better crossover at some point. It's a little disappointing that they didn't, especially because Sting's got some fucking great songs. I mean,
now favorite song by the Police, go.
I don't know if I could actually name one off the top of my head, because I'm sure I know Police songs. I just don't know it's done by the Police.
Roxanne, message in a bottle, every breath you take.
Every Breath You Take is a weird song.
I love that song.
But it's creepy.
Yeah, if you don't pay attention to the lyrics, it's such a great, great song.
I think they attempted to make it creepy because it is about a stalker.
He wanted to, but to his credit, he always says, when people tell me that's their song, I'm like, you listen to the lyrics.
Yeah. Random side note on that. One of my favorite songs of all time is from Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight, and he recently had said a thing where he was just like, yeah, it doesn't fucking mean anything. Like, everybody that has that idea.
I completely disagree with that. I refuse that. Like, that's a great song, and by the way, favorite Police song would be, for me, Message in a Bottle.
I'm just looking to look at some of their songs now. I'd probably go Don't Stand Close to Me.
That's goodness, good so another good one, yeah. Shout out to some Sting music that people might not necessarily know. Everybody knows Desert Rose. Love that song. Fields of Gold's a great one. Stolen Car is great. Two songs, though, that I think are in contention for my favorite song of all time, though. It's Probably Me, a song that was created for Lethal Weapon 3. And Shape of My Heart, which should have been a fucking Bond theme. That thing is so perfect for being a Bond theme. So that's your random music discussion in the middle of Sting, but when the hell else are we going to talk about Sting? If we could have gotten Sting, the musician, do a version of Man Called Sting, I think that the world would implode or something. But that high scores on Entrance, and I don't anticipate that we're going to have low scores on the next set, which is the Behavior side of things. Backstage Professionalism is the locker room side of it, you know, the politician negatives when it comes to people that are like, you know, that's not going to work for me, brother. Or are they like a Danielson who is like, yeah, I'll lose to everybody. Or are they in a Danielson like a bully? He's kind of a 50-50 split on that sometimes. Public relations are... That's where you get into the negatives of, like, with the Vince McMahon thing going on right now. What is their projection for the companies that they're working with? What do they do when it comes to charity work, talk shows, media coverage? Are they getting arrested? Are they somebody who is a great, John Cena with the Make-A-Wish type stuff? By all accounts, Sting seems to be one of those few people that fucking nobody has anything bad to say about. And I think the closest thing that I've heard that I can at least conjure up right in my brain of like a quote unquote negative was like, I think it was Nash recently had said like, Sting before he became, is he a born again Christian? I think that's what he is. Like before he got more into religion, yeah, he used to drink more, but he was very responsible when he did. And it was like, wow, okay. That whole like, my party era, I would drink at the hotel that I was staying at and I would be reasonable about it. What a fucking loose cannon there. Like, seems like a respectable dude. Seems like he didn't politic his way and fuck people over and all. You guys might be able to enlighten me on some other things if there's something I'm unaware of, but I would assume that he's a solid like 9 on both.
That's exactly where I have him, a solid 9 for both. Apparently this guy is like as good as Terry Funk when it comes to just being a nice guy into his golden years in the industry, and everybody said he is the example of what to be. And shit, I haven't heard a single bad story, so I didn't give him a 10 because I haven't heard anything like, and he fed all of the starving children in this place, but 9 is pretty damn close.
I've gone with 2 9s as well. I think that backstage he seems to be utterly respected by all of his peers. I don't really see anybody say negative things about Sting. You can tell from what he said about his time in AEW as well, that he was reluctant to win titles and to always win all the time. And Tony Khan almost had to convince him, like, no, you're Sting. You're Sting. You're winning matches. And I think that he was selfless in that way as well. I don't think he ever really... He he wanted to be obviously a big deal and popular, but I don't think that he ever wanted to do that at the expense of somebody else's push. In fairness, he probably was too selfless in that way, because anybody that was told what the finisher to the 97 Starrcade main event was, and if you're staying in that position, it's probably like, yeah, can we not do that? Can Hogan just shut the fuck up and take the pin for once, please? So yeah, I think that Sting is incredibly well respected backstage, public relations. Again, the only cut that you can really do from that is the fact that he was, for a time, addicted to drugs and alcohol and cheated on his wife and stuff during a bad period in the 90s, but then became a born-again Christian, you know, as all the good ones do. Like, that's kind of like the story for pro wrestlers, is you fuck around for a little while and then you find, oh Jesus, and then it's all forgiven and you move on.
Like, it's like fucking Where's Waldo?
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what it's like with this thing.
Like, oh, there you are, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, right there. Oh, I dropped the drugs, dropped the alcohol. I've just seen them all over the page. And, oh, Jesus is right there. I'll follow this guy instead.
Oh, Jesus Christ, he scared me.
but this is the story. Of
now I'm picturing this. Jesus coming down from the rafters.
Oh, no. I mean,
it's like somebody's got a Sting mask. They take it off. It's Jesus. We need Shivani.
Imagine how different life would have been if Vince McMahon had picked up that Where's Jesus book.
Yeah. Then maybe he would have teamed up with God instead of beating God.
Yeah. But obviously, I make light of it because, as everyone who knows me knows, virulently anti-organized religion. But if it works for you and it helps you turn your life around, then good for you. Just don't tell me about it. But ever since then, he seems to have been completely clean, focused, just, you know, just willing to give back and do good things. And so he's not, as Rob says, can't really give him a 10 because, I don't know, I'm sure he does do charity work and other good stuff as well, but we don't hear much about it, which maybe is even a sign of him being a good person because he doesn't brag about that stuff either. But I think that, yeah, I think a solid 9 for both is a really testament to the kind of man and character he is.
Actually kind of thinking about maybe giving him an 8 for public relations. Because the more that I'm thinking about it, the more I'm like, I don't remember him really doing too much media type stuff and too much other stuff. Like, not being an issue isn't quite as much of the same as being that. I'm looking at some of the other people that I've given some high scores to. And like, some other people, like a Foley is a 10. And I had given a 9 to Cody. Of course, at this point, Cody's fucking 10. I should probably change that.
Yeah, Cody's
He's gotten to the point where he's like, you know, goddamn, man, you're keep doing gender reveals and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe I'll keep it a 9. I'm looking at him more.
I think Sting would be used for that kind of thing. I mean, I think he did it a lot during the 80s, being like a poster child for all this kind of stuff. I think he's just a bit more, I think he's just kind of laid back. They don't really go after him as much because he's just pretty, especially in his later years, he's just a bit more like laid back, a little bit more just, I'm not going to cut like a super intense, fiery promo in this interview. I'm just going to sit back and talk. And also, I don't know if this does technically count in the public relations, but if you've seen that Sprite commercial he's in, then you know he's a good spokesperson. You know that he's a good spokesperson for a brand.
I mean, that counts. It's media type stuff, yeah.
Oh, that's an awesome commercial.
Yeah, just thought of a great idea for a gender reveal. You hire Sting, and then whatever face paint color he's wearing is the boy or girl.
He takes off the mask, the white mask, and reveals.
Yeah, you have him like come out in the white crow mask, and then reveal.
Yeah, blue for the boy, pink for a girl, and if he's got a halo across it, then you're giving birth to Jesus.
That'd be great. If the time ever came where I would need something like that, I would pay Sting a stupid amount of money.
Now here's the question, though, when it comes to media and like crossover type material and all: is it a pro or is a massive pro that he worked with RoboCop.
Oh, that's a massive pro. Yeah.
I think you might have to give him 100 for this.
Who do Superstar scores RoboCop afterwards?
I mean,
do we need to? Isn't he just a 10 and everything?
10.
Actually, now I'm thinking off the top of my head, I'm like, well, I mean, when it comes to
maybe
physique,
not psychology.
When it comes maybe to physique, psychology. He's mostly just a head. So it's
I mean, if you go early in the movie, then his physique was all over the place in one part of the movie in particular.
I'll tell you what, RoboCop doesn't get a high score for athleticism. He can barely fucking walk. Some charisma, though. Goddamn, we're going to end up doing that at some point. Let's see here. We got those out of the way, so we're down to the final two categories, and those are popularity and credibility as part of the crowd reaction side of things. Popularity, more so pure popularity, their fan support. In this era, we've got social media, so we're able to see, you know, somebody like The Rock has way more followers than, I don't know, Izzy Dame on NXT right now. Izzy Dame, out of all the people for me to pick, I don't know why. Yeah, merch sales type stuff that we don't really know too much, but we can get a general sense based off of how many people were wearing the Austin 316 shirt compared to some other things. And then the ratings, if we have any of that information, all that's lumped into popularity. Credibility is when you get into their Hall of Fame type careers, their championship wins. Are they the type of person that very few people ever beat? Like, a 10 type of a score goes to a guy like Goldberg that lost like to maybe like 8 people in his entire career. And then you got people on the very low end, like a Santino Marella, who was, you know, he won some championships, but it's mostly as a joke and could be humiliated on any given basis. And everybody would be like, yeah, that makes sense. So very high scores on this one too. Guy has won many, many championships over the course of his career over many different promotions. And I'm sure that if he were to have been in WWE for a decent amount of time and not towards the very, very end of his career for just a hot minute, I'm sure we would have seen him win the WWE championship at some point. He would have most likely won maybe the United States title, the Intercontinental, probably would have been in a tag team at some point to win that. You can't really compare the potential of WWE versus TNA, because TNA is an entirely different animal. But I mean, NWA World Television Champion, NWA World Heavyweight Champion, International World Heavyweight Champion twice, US Champion twice, World Heavyweight title in WCW 6 times, 3-time tag champ, Battle Bowl winner, European Cup, Ironman tournament, all these other tournaments and stuff. He won the TNA title 4 times. 5 count the NWA one, all across the board, and he ends his career as a tag team champion in AEW. I'd go 9 popularity, 10 for credibility. I think maybe 9 for credibility. Now I'm thinking about it, actually, 9 and 9.
Yeah, give him 2 10s. Get the fuck over it. He didn't work in WWE. Okay. He had 2 pay-per-view matches. One of them was for the championship, and the other was the featured match at WrestleMania. Like, Sting is one of the most credible characters outside of WWE of all time. And popularity, the kids go wild, and the old people act like a child. he's a 10. I think you should bump him up. What did you give him, Kellen?
I'd go in 2 9s as well.
Boo!
I mean, the reason why, because like my 10s for popularity are Steve Austin, Ric Flair, and CM Punk. And I just think Sting is just, I mean, he's very, very close, but I think he might just be like a little step below that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, at the time, like 97, Sting was the most over baby face in WCW during the hottest time of its entire run, and arguably one of the hottest runs that any wrestling promotion has ever had, so that can't be denied. And he was super popular in the 80s as well, and going into the 90s. I think that maybe the TNA stuff hampers it a little bit, because even though he was super over in TNA, I think that he was almost, I'll say overexposed, but a little bit over relied upon in TNA. He wasn't a special attraction that he was in AEW or even in WWE. He was just there all the time and just in front of the same people in the Impact Zone over and over and over again. So it's kind of hard to really tell, to gauge how over he was or what impact he was having in Impact in terms of like selling merch, like pushing pay-per-view buys, all that other stuff, because it just felt like, I don't know, maybe at that point in time he'd grown a little long in the tooth for Sting, but then his resurgence first with WWE and then coming back to AEW and having that awesome final run definitely has elevated him to, you know, he is one of the most popular wrestlers of all time, but I don't know whether he was at his peak, he ever hit the 10 mark. Whereas credibility, I've given her 9 just because it's not even a case of like not winning major titles in WWE. He's just won a lot of world championships, done a lot of great stuff, big moments, obviously ending it with AEW completely undefeated and finishing as a tag team champion. So it's hard not to say it's 10, but I give like loads and loads of people 10s for credibility. Maybe I could give Sting 1 as well, but I think that maybe it's also due to that little selflessness aspect of him as well, is that he would lose matches. And he wasn't like as... He almost suffers in the same way The Rock kind of suffered, with the fact that Rock was at his peak super, super, super over and would win loads of world titles and big championships. But then they'd also just occasionally one week have him lose to Crowbar or something. And they'd just be, okay, that's just Sting. Sting just loses to Crowbar on TV, or that big feud he had with Vampiro and loads of other guys that Sting shouldn't, in fairness, really be losing to, but he's going to lose to them because that's just, they asked him to, and he said, oh, yeah, sure, fine. I remember that episode of TNA where he lost to Rob Van Dam in 10 seconds. Like, that's just, Sting had... His selflessness sometimes hurt his credibility a little bit, so that's why I've dropped him down to 9.
You heard it here first, folks. Be more of a dick. That's how you get to be a preacher.
Hey, you scoff, but that is kind of what you have to do to make sure you always win. But look at the guys that have 10 credibility. Steve Austin, The Undertaker. I kind of have Edge there, but Edge won like 20 world titles, so it's kind of difficult not to. Like Goldberg, Jericho, Lesnar, it's like these guys, I say they're not dicks, but they basically said, hey, I should be the world champion. You know what? I shouldn't lose that title either to anyone until it's the right time to lose to him, and I decide when I lose it. And then I should beat that guy and win that title back. And that's just how it would go. Whereas Sting is just, he's in the same way that like Bryan Danielson is. It's like he's almost as happy to lose a match than he is to win one. As long as everyone's having fun.
And all the old people are going wild.
Yeah.
That's right.
If that old person isn't going wild because Sting isn't winning, then he'll win. If they're going wild either way, it doesn't matter.
So no score lower than a 7 for any of us on any of these. Which, of course, yeah, I mean, it's Sting. He wasn't going to get a fucking 2 in anything.
Say correctly.
It's Sting! Like I said, I'm just picturing now Shivani being like commentating on it's Jesus like that. Like he comes out to a total for me with 85.
I'm at 88.
I'm at 85 as well.
Which turns out his average is an 86, which is, let's see, it is above, it's 1 point above Rey Mysterio, and it is 3 points below Austin. It's 1 point below Kane, actually, funny enough.
That'll change, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, if we adjust Kane based off of the public relations side, I mean, I'm sure we're going to dock him a point, maybe. But he's in that range of a lot of other greats, you know, the Chris Jericho's, the Shawn Michaels. It's above Shawn Michaels, I think, on our average. Yeah. He's above Foley. He's below Triple H right now. He's below Jericho, but he's above Daniel Bryan. Like, you know, he's in that that very high echelon. Still, the highest score that we have overall is Undertaker at 90 point something or other, but an 86 spread out over there. It's very, very, very hard to get into the 90s. And Undertaker would lose some points probably now if we adjusted too. He's talked more recently in the past couple of years.
I don't know if I would drop many points. This thing seems to maintain. Yeah, I remember the good old days. That's basically the extent of his bullshit.
I mean, for me, I've got him, staying with my 85 score, it puts him joint 7th for me. Like, he's in the same number of points to me for both Rey Mysterio and Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
He's just 1 point off The Undertaker and Edge, and 1 point above Brock Lesnar, Cody Rhodes, and Ric Flair. Which, both Ric Flair and Brock Lesnar might be adjusted later on, because... Cody goes up, Brock and Flair go down. It's always public relations and backstage stuff that always fucks people.
I'm going to, just on the fly, I'm looking at my Cody list right now. I got to adjust his popularity and credibility. He was a 7 and an 8 when we did these before for me. Mm. Yeah, popularity's not a 7 anymore when it's the We Want Cody, Fuck the Rock, you know?
Yeah, I'd say I'd put him at the moment, like, Cody at a solid 9. I still don't think he's 10
level
just yet.
No, I'd go 9 for
credit, might be.
For popularity.
I think by the end of his career, he'll be 10.
Could be.
Right now, I think it's... well, we'll have to see. I mean, WWE's doing great business right now, but we'll have to see whether him as the top babyface will be the catalyst for even more. But yeah, Cody's definitely higher up than he used to be. Whereas
I already had him at 9, because I'm typically nicer to these people, and I don't remember when we did that. I could have done that post his AEW run.
I think that's when we did it.
Because that's when I started to see it, but I bumped him up to a 9 for credibility as well, because he's the guy now.
Yeah, I just bumped him up in a couple different categories, because I bumped him up for entrance as well, now that, you know, Kingdom is what it is. He is currently now sitting at an 84 for me. Cody's got some major positives in that front. And if he wins that title, his credibility is going to go up an extra point for me too, because holy shit, if you win the main event of WrestleMania and you pin Roman Reigns and win that and stuff, I think that you deserve to be a 9 instead of an 8. But
probably won't happen, but I think he should win both main events and just, like, really smash this fucker over.
Definitely not happening. So Hall of Famer Sting in a Hall of Fame type level average score that we've got going on here. Very, very high up. I doubt that we are going to be shifting too much of his points over time, but who knows? Maybe he does more. Yeah, like, I can only imagine that he would do maybe more public relations type stuff where we go, give him a 10. But, yeah, I don't think that we're suddenly going to get some kind of horrible news that Sting did anything bad that we need to punish him for, or, you know, go back and undo anything else. But that's it's a very high score, and it is very well earned. Sting, of course, total legend. You might even call him an icon. Is that some kind of extinct bird? It's one of my favorite fucking things that Macho Man's ever said. I don't even know what it is.
Is it a bird?
Is it some kind of bird that's not around anymore? We never did Macho Man's Superstar Scores, did we? Man, he's a fucking character. So, of course, let us know what your scores are for Sting in the comments, or go to the page on smartcomoma.com. Leave your breakdown there. Did you give him around the range, the 85, 88 type range that we gave him? Are you a little higher? Are you a little lower? Got a feeling that Greg might, for instance, be on the higher end. I know Greg's been super duper, like, Sting's my guy. I'll have to ask him what he has going on. But yeah, anything that you agree or disagree with, of course, leave those comments below as well. And also let us know who you want us to do Superstar Scores for next, because not only do we need to, you know, kind of keep around this, we usually tend to do these when something happens where somebody like retires or something, but yeah, we've done some other ones in the past where they haven't just retired. Maybe they are well retired years ago, or, you know, we can go back in time and do like Superstar Scores like Mr. Perfect or something. Or we might even, you know, we've done a couple in the past where it's been like a current person and we've done their scores, like Roman Reigns back in, when did we do this? February 2015 is when we did that. Goddamn, Roman's changed a lot over the years. And, you know, we've got some very classic ones. Like, we still haven't done an official one for The Rock, John Cena, Hulk Hogan. Of course, we got that Chris Benoit one that we could always do. We got, I've done my scores for Trish Stratus and for Lacey Evans. I did, you know, some other ones here and there. And, you know, if you want to request something as well, you also have that Pick Your Poison tier. So if your favorite has been lingering out there and you really want to know what we would rank them, let us know. We'll do that. We haven't done any tag team ones. That'd be an interesting one to do.
Let us know your favorite Police song as well.
Yeah. What's your favorite song from Sting? What's your favorite appearance from Sting in anything? Is it The Simpsons? Yeah. And keep clicking on all those good buttons that we mentioned to you before. Also, check out things like fanboysanonymous.com. Not much music stuff over there. Pretty much all on the movie side of things, but some video game stuff, some TV stuff. You know, it's if you're going to find anything music related, that's where you would find it for the most part. Head on over to fanboysanonymous.com for that. Also, stay tuned for something coming up later on this week where there's going to be another fan tracks for a John Cena film that's coming out, Ricky Stenicki. So that's going to be Wednesday, I think is when it's released, sometime Wednesday or Thursday. I'm assuming that we'll probably knock that out.
Seventh. So
that would be
probably Thursday night or Friday morning. You wake up, you listen to us watch John Cena like we normally do in the middle of the night.
Yeah, some kind of one in the morning watch of a comedy with that. Hopefully better than Vacation Friends too. That was disappointing. But that is happening over on the Blue Brand there. And of course, if you click on the link tree, go to amangotree.com, you'll see links to all the Fanboys Anonymous stuff, all the Smart Cut Moment stuff, and anything else that's happening on there. If you want to follow the most recent movies that I've been watching, all the, you know, I've been trying to watch as many garbage films as I can over the weekends and stuff. I think the most recent one that I had watched was, now I'm blanking on that. I know I had watched Blade recently. That wasn't the most recent one, because I had just, that was one of those things that I was like, oh man, why haven't I not watched Blade?
I watched The Iron Claw.
That's a good one, though.
Look, that's, I got news for you. As sad as the real story is, they took it and they made it even more sad. That's some sad shit, man.
All of Us Strangers was the most recent movie that I had seen, and then before that it was Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li.
Is that the live action one?
That's a Kristen Kruk. Yeah,
why are you doing that to yourself?
Oh, because it was fucking glorious. It was so bad. And Sudden Death, the hockey movie with Van Damme. So yeah, go to the letterbox, check that out and all that stuff. Follow me at Tony Mango all over the place, and you can see all sorts of things that I'm working on, but also follow Robin Callum.
Yeah, follow me everywhere at Dude Felice. Follow my work at Fightful.com, DudeFelice.com. I'm currently staring at the back end of it. It's not quite finished yet, but the team working on it is closer than ever. And that'll be there soon. And I have some fun ideas for lots of things that one day you're just going to see a flood of content from me. And then you'll know. And you guys are probably the first to hear it, because Smart Cut Moment is the first home. So there's that.
Isn't it rude to stare at something's back end for that long?
Not when it's your own.
How it's dare it's a little awkward. You?
It's a little awkward, but not rude.
So you can find me on Twitter at WeekMeister14. You can check out the power rankings over on smartcutmoment.com, my weekly contribution to the website where I rank the WWE superstars based on their previous week's performances. And while you're there, you can also head to check out the Fantasy League, also at www.fantasyleague.com, to see how all of our teams are doing, who's picking up points as we are now in the final stretch towards WrestleMania. So every point matters just that little bit more, because that will determine who is the overall winner at the end of this year.
Okie dokie, everybody. That means that we have our main event covered for this week, but that's not the last you're going to be hearing from us, of course, because we do have another round of the hot tags coming up. That's going to be covering things like Santana being gone from AEW. And we got, of course, talk about Paul Heyman going into the Hall of Fame. It's going to be an interesting discussion for that alone. And whatever else happens in the next few days, we'll be covering that on most likely either Thursday or Friday, depending on what's going on. But in the meantime, click around, stay tuned, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we will see you with the next thing. Adios for now, everybody. This has been another Smart Out Moment, and we are being counted out.